Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Sharing the Hope from the Mike Mason Foundation. I'm your host, Patrick Mason, and today I am joined by Bailey Schaefer. Bailey is a 27-year-old living with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. She has had three open heart surgeries, the Norwood, Glenn, and Fontan, at UCSF, all performed by Dr. Frank Hanley. She currently works as a cardiac nurse and is looking to go back to school to become a nurse practitioner that specializes in adult pediatric congenital cardiology. Welcome to the show, Bailey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're glad to have you on. So usually I ask panelists on the show how they first learned about congenital heart defects and hypoplastic left heart syndrome in particular, but for you, I think it was probably a different experience. So could you share us a little bit about what your experience was like growing up with the congenital heart defect, how you learned about it, how it affected your life, and how it is now?
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up with it, it's kind of been an overall positive experience for me. I think the downside of it for me growing up as a kid was just kind of like with exercise and physical activity. My two siblings were like really fit and everything and were involved in soccer. I was involved in soccer too at like a young age. I just couldn't keep up with everybody. I remember my dad had to like take me out at one point, and that was really sad for me. But then I was able to find my own niche, and I did like drawings, and I like to draw and paint and things like that. And I ended up finding like my own sport. It's kind of like a sport to me, I would say. It's like figure skating. So, you know, I just got to do it. Yeah. I liked that a lot because I could still be physically active, but also just keep up at my own pace. I can just literally just stop whenever I want if I need to take a, you know, a breather or anything like that. And it was just, I liked it a lot. Mainly how I found out about my heart condition or wanting to learn more about it, I would say it kind of started probably in like middle school, high school, like where we take like those biology classes. And there'd be like, we'd learn about the heart's anatomy, and there would be like a diagram on the board of like a four-chambered heart. I'm like, huh, I know my heart doesn't look like that. Like, what does it actually look like? I'm just really curious. That's when I kind of started like researching and trying to find out like more about my actual heart and like how it, the circulation goes and kind of things like that.
How would you say your experience growing up compared to your peers as far as like dealing with the medical side of the world?
And it's definitely been rough. Sometimes I get picked on a little bit, but for me personally, I don't know if there was a difference for me in a way. I mean, yes, I had a scar. So I guess some kids looked at me differently a little bit and asked me like, oh, what is that? Or, you know, something like that. But overall, I think I had a really good childhood growing up. Like my parents didn't really coddle me too much, which I know they wanted to because they always freak out if I got like a scratch or anything. But yeah. Yeah. So, but they usually, I think I had like a normal childhood growing up. I always felt different, I feel like, just because of my appearance and things like that. And sometimes I get like blue lips a little bit, short of breath kind of easily. So there was just those slight differences that I kind of felt a little bit left out in. I grew up with my siblings. I have a twin brother. So I grew up with him a lot. And my younger sister was about 2 or 3 years younger than me. So I feel like I had a really good normal childhood. I had a choice, I think, in kindergarten where I could go to special needs classes or whatever. But I mean, that's everyone's choice, you know, whatever you feel comfortable doing. But I did have to learn. I had a little bit of a learning disability growing up. I think it's because of, you know, just the things with surgery and things like that. But I just, wanted to just push myself. And so I wanted to not be behind my twin brother, you know. So I was like, oh, let me just put me in the same class as him and I'll just study just as, you know, harder, you know, obviously. And I did it and I was able to graduate, you know, high school with him. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, I had a pretty good childhood and just growing up, I kind of lived like a normal life, I would say, for most of the part. Behind the scenes, there was like, you know, the doctor visits and weekly blood draws for those of you who had to be on like blood thinners. So there was that aspect for sure. I didn't like that much, but it didn't bother me. So, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I haven't found anybody who's a big fan of weekly blood draws yet. So.
Yeah, no. No. And I just recently stopped warfarin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm so glad. But that's because they switched me to Xarelto. It's like a new medication. So it's where it doesn't require like weekly blood tests. So I'm definitely happy about that. Okay. Because that was, not fun. One time when I first started getting used to it, like it was so bad. Like I had to get my mom get like a blood drawn for me. She had to do it before me just to make sure it was safe. And then there was one time where, yeah, it was horrible. But there was one time where I sat on her lap and like two nurses held me down and I kicked one shin. Yeah, I kicked one nurse in the shin. So that was just, it was not a fun experience for me, but I grew up, you know, getting used to it eventually. And now it's like, if I need another blood draw, I'll just like stick as many times as you need. I don't care. But definitely a traumatic event for me for sure.
Yeah. No, I could see that. Yeah. Similar with my son. I've been the holding down parent before, or the distracting parent, trying to rapidly bring up Disney Plus or something just to look at
this. Yep. Oh my gosh. But now I think they have those like numbing creams or something. I didn't have that when I was young. So to like do the blood draws, but.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. I don't know. My son, like you tell him, hey, take this because it's going to make the next thing feel better. And he'll like slap it out of your hand. And I'm like, oh, come on, kid. Work with me here.
He's like, you're not full of me. Oh, man.
So you ended up going into nursing. When did you decide you wanted to head into the medical field?
It started in high school, I would say. My aunt was actually a nurse, still is a nurse right now. But I've always kind of looked up to her and wanted to become a nurse like her. And then I guess just like, you know, in biology class, looking at the heart, and it just interested me so much. And I remember my parents telling me at the time of my surgeries, you know, most of the babies unfortunately didn't make it because it was experimental at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that always held on to me for the longest time. So I felt like I've always wanted to give back to those who wasn't, you know, weren't able to make it, and just kind of give my life to them in a sense, to kind of work in cardiology specifically. And also just be able to relate to the patients. So I think what started that was, yeah, just kind of, that's when I figured that out in high school, that mindset, I guess, where I first found that out. And then my high school actually had this like CNA program, certified nursing assistant program. So that was really nice. It kind of just taught you. Yeah, it was really great because I didn't think a lot of high schools offered it, and it was for free. So, but yeah, it was really good because it like taught me like a lot of skills, like vital signs and just simple things, kind of like the basics. I don't know. It taught me like really valuable lessons that I kind of used once I started working as a nurse. Cause I remember when I was in nursing school, I was working with other students and classmates that didn't have any medical experience at all. So I was able to help them during clinicals cause they were like freaking out, like, how do I take this blood pressure and things like that? Yeah. And so it was really good. And after I graduated with my CNA license, then I went to work at Medical University of South Carolina. And oh my gosh, that was just amazing because I got to work in an ICU for pediatric cardiology patients. And I got to work alongside kids like me. And I got to meet a lot of parents and stuff like that. And it was a really touching moment. And I liked working there a lot. So yeah, that's kind of how I began.
Okay. Did you find that you tended to gravitate more towards HLHS kids?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, not meaning like I still was interested in learning about all the other congenital heart defects, but I think probably primarily more so single ventricle HLHS, just because I knew more of it and I was more knowledgeable of it. I learned, I think, more about the other congenital heart defects once I was in nursing school. We had to learn about it a lot. And I think that was, so cardiology was actually the hardest subject in our class. And then once we got to the pediatric congenital heart defect, that was supposed to be even harder for a lot of people. Like, everyone's like, this test is going to be so hard. And I got an A on that. So I'm like, I know all of this. Come on. So they'd always go to me for those questions. I'm like, I already know this. I've gone through this. I've lived with this. So yeah, I think definitely leaning towards HLHS just because I was more knowledgeable in it and kind of understood it a little bit better.
Did you ever find yourself telling the parents or other nurses that you had a congenital heart defect, or did you typically kind of stay quiet about it?
At first, I stayed a little bit quiet about it just because I was like, it's not about me kind of thing. I felt in my mind, I was like, we're here for the patients and things like that. But I remember coming home and telling my mom, should I tell them? Should I not? I don't know, because I don't want to make it about me. But my mom's like, back then, I would have loved to have my nurse or even like a nurse tech tell me that they had HLHS or, you know, the same heart defect as what my kid's going through. And so she really wished she had that. So I, you know, eventually did bring up telling them. I think I told the nurses at first, because like when I was hired, that was just one of the things like, oh, you know, I can relate to the patients and things like that. But yeah, that was the biggest thing. I did eventually start telling some patients, parents with HLHS, and got different reactions. So it was really cool. I liked it a lot. It was a good feeling, I guess, for both of us, you know, just kind of sharing and, you know, making sure. Because I know, like, sometimes, especially in the ICU, it's just so scary and dark, especially for kids and stuff. So it's just, I don't know, I think it's just to bring some hope, I guess, just to show them you can survive beyond the surgeries.
Good deal. It says that you're interested in going back to school to become a nurse practitioner. What's the path you see there?
Yeah, so I'm still looking into it, but I think I'm wanting to move back down to South Carolina. And I don't know if I want to have my own practice, but I just want to educate myself more and to learning more about it. I feel like I know a lot about cardiology and that aspect and everything like that. But I think once I'm a nurse practitioner, I'll know even more. I don't know if I'll ever get my doctorate or anything like that, but I just want to learn more and more. It's just so interesting. So I think that's kind of the reason why I've been pushing myself. Right now, I have my associates right now. So I'm working on getting my bachelor's first, and then I'll kind of go down the line looking into those schoolings and trying to figure out the requirements. I do believe I might have to have a certain amount of hospital experience too. So working on that as well.
So I met you at the NPC QIC Fawn / Single Ventricle Day, kind of one of the get-togethers last September. And you were there for Single Ventricle Day. So could you tell us, how did you find out about Single Ventricle Day? What was it like for you? What was your experience?
Yeah, I'm actually in an adult CHD Facebook group. And so one of the members is a great friend of mine, Amanda Harper. Love her.
Okay.
But she's, yeah. So that's kind of how I found out. She's one of the like community engagement leaders of the Fontan Outcomes Network. So she was telling our group about, you know, Single Ventricle Day in Chicago that she helped kind of set up and just asked us if any of us would like to go. And so I went, and it was a really good experience. I got to meet a lot of CHD parents and adults, and I just really liked talking to them and sharing stories, things like that. And I don't know, I think it was just a really cool experience for me, because I feel like for the first time in my life, I kind of felt like truly heard, because it's in my day-to-day life, it's like I don't normally meet people who have the same heart defect. So when I talk about my condition to my friends who have four chambered hearts, it's just like they can kind of feel for me, but like they don't really understand exactly what I'm going through. So it was just really nice to talk to people about even like littlest things, like your anxiety for your next appointment, or how you can relate to like having blue lips or just feeling short of breath, things like that. It was just, I don't know, I really liked it. I really enjoyed that time there and just learning about everybody's stories. Since I've been with the CHD Facebook group for a long time, probably for like 10 years, I would say, it was really cool to like meet them in person too. That was just a cool experience. It's like we were already best friends basically growing up together online. So like it was just not even meeting a stranger in real life in person. It was just a really cool experience for me, and definitely will go next year for sure.
Okay. As far as like the presentations go at Single Ventricle Day, what would you say was one of your favorites or some of your favorites?
I did hear a little bit about the liver specialist, kind of learning about that. I think was pretty beneficial to me, because I'm more so, obviously, I'm already in cardiology a lot. So I knew a lot of the material there. So I'm just kind of new to the liver side of things. So I think just kind of learning, obviously no alcohol with your liver, fibrosis, things like that. But just learning little things, I guess, about how to properly take care of your liver. It's like up and new, I guess, that I've been learning about this liver stuff. So
let some of our listeners know, what is Single Ventricle Day?
I guess from my perspective, I would say it's just bringing everybody together, adults and even kids, teenagers, you know, they bring their parents, obviously, coming together and talking even with clinicians and stuff like that, sharing our stories and trying to figure out, you know, what's the better way to get better outcomes. It's all new to me, I guess. It's just my first time there.
Well, I think that was the second or third year they've done it. So it's still a fairly new thing, but conceptually, it's just getting folks together who have single ventricle congenital heart diseases, and it's like 14 and up. It's interesting. It's no other people allowed, like no parents, no whatever, except for people who are giving presentations. They can go in, but it's kind of this is our own time with each other. I thought it was a very interesting concept. I've met a lot of HLHS folks who have never met another person who has HLHS, right? And so a lot of people are like, this is the first time I ever met people. Now I have a whole group of people. From my perspective, it's just, it's really cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I thought that was pretty cool too. I really thought that was a really interesting time. I definitely will go again for sure.
Would you recommend it to other folks?
Yes, definitely. Not every day you get to meet somebody in person with a single ventricle. So I would definitely recommend it. It's just such a comforting feeling too, coming together with people who kind of understand you and kind of know exactly what it's like to live with this condition, just because they're going through the same things too. So yeah, I think I would definitely recommend it for sure.
Generally, what advice do you think you would have for parents of children with single ventricle disease?
I would say for parents, obviously, we've gone through so much with your child, and it's definitely scary to let them out on their own and branch out. But I think that's the biggest thing you should let them do. Obviously, as long as it's okay with the cardiologist, but, you know, just let them. Yeah. Always got to check through them. Like, I don't even check my primary. I do stick with your primary, but like, I always call my cardiologist for everything. Even if it's not cardiac related, they're probably so annoyed with me. Yeah. But back to that. Yeah, I would say definitely the biggest thing for parents would be let your kids branch out and kind of feel what they want to do. If they want to do sports, if they can keep up, let them do it, because they can, ultimately, it's their own bodies. They can tell when they've had enough. Let them kind of have their own life in a sense. Bring them up kind of normal if you can, as best you can. I think advice for young teens too, start learning about your condition as well. I think it's really important to educate yourself about the condition. At that age, it's time to start kind of learning about your condition and trying to become more proactive and involved in your care. Growing up, I guess I always had my parents handle everything for me, you know, and do all the talking at my appointments. So I think once I became an adult, I soon realized that I was more responsible for scheduling my own doctor's appointments and things like that. So I think for the young teens out there, maybe try and learn a little bit about, you know, your condition, even if it's just simply asking questions at your next appointment. Having congenital heart defect isn't just a childhood disease. It's, you know, something that stays with you for the rest of your life, basically. So I think learning about your condition now would be better prepare yourself for everything.
Good advice. Honestly, good advice for anybody.
Yeah, for anything. Yeah. It was a big shift for me. Like, I just let them do everything. And then once I got to like move out, I'm like, oh shoot, I have to call my doctor. I have to be setting these up. It's me who's responsible for my own health now. It's like, it's a big change. So yeah, definitely. If you can start early, you know, just start listening and, you know, into your appointments. And if there's any questions you have, just always ask, or ask your parents too, you know, just to kind of get a better understanding of your condition.
Yeah. Very good advice.
Thanks.
I have a couple curveball questions that I usually ask at the end. I haven't quite been on some of the parent congenital heart defect Facebook groups as long as 10 years, but we're closing in. I'm about 8 years now. One of the reasons we started doing the podcast was because on a fairly regular basis, we would get parents who had just been given the diagnosis in utero and who had talked to a cardiologist who maybe had had hypoplastic left heart syndrome talked to them 20 years ago in med school. And at that time, the prognosis was just not what it is now, right? They usually come to the Facebook group kind of torn apart and thinking, like, you know, in a doom and gloom mindset. So my question to you is, if you had somebody like that come to you, what kind of hope would you have to offer them?
I would say, you know, it's definitely scary, you know, to learn about that. And it's going to be tough going through it. But I think ultimately, it's the right choice to go through the surgeries. And wouldn't say it's like a death sentence or anything like that. You know, I'm here 27 years old and I'm still doing fine. My heart's doing great. I haven't had any surgery since the Fontan. Yeah, awesome. Which is crazy. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So no pacemaker, nothing. Yeah, everybody's different, obviously. But I would say, you know, definitely don't lose hope. It's going to be hard, obviously. You know, it's your child there. But I would say, you know, definitely just don't give up hope. There really is hope after the surgeries. We don't know how long we have. We don't know the outcomes right now, like the end goal, but we're still learning and trying to, even the doctors, we're still trying to figure out what the outcomes are and what we can do. But I'm still living, and I've known a lot of other adults that are a lot older than me, and they're still striving, and it's going to be scary, but you just got to have some hope.
Very good. Thank you.
Of course.
Final question, also a curveball, but perhaps a little easier, although some people have said it's been a much harder question. So,
oh, great.
Whereabouts do you work?
Buffalo, New York area.
Okay. Buffalo, New York. All right. So this ought to be good. So if I find myself in Buffalo, New York, where do I have to go eat?
Oh, that's not a hard question. Well, I can't. There's not really good heart healthy choices there. So.
Now, very, very rarely do these answers are heart healthy. This is
no, but I would say the best place in Buffalo is definitely, for me at least, the Anchor Bar, if you like wings. Anywhere else you go, people in the state or out of state, they'll be like, oh, we have buffalo wings. And then if you say like, oh, I'm from Buffalo, they'll be like, never mind, don't try these. Because the Anchor Bar is the original place for the wings. So I think definitely the Anchor Bar for sure, if you like wings. Yep.
I love wings. So
yep, definitely go there. Absolutely.
Awesome. I want to thank you very, very much for coming on to the show with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed being here.
And you're very welcome.